Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Welcome in, everyone. Dom Giordano's show. Thanks so much for being part of it. And thanks, we know behind the scenes already, the interest in Bill O'Reilly. Wow. Just announced. Got to get those tickets now. It's going to be a spectacular event with him. Remember, go to our website, 1210WPHT.com/speaker series. Headline now that's cropped up, and I led with this, but it's become more prominent. President Trump has ordered the military to close, threatens to order the military to close our southern border. That means shut it down. You know what that would mean? That just doesn't mean they're checking. It means to close our southern border. I emphasize that. I've been to the border. I've done that. You know what that would mean commercially? Over this caravan coming and over all the pressure on people coming across the border in record numbers. All right, Mitch Albom is one of America's really great storytellers. And one of the stories, one of his franchises, The Five People You Meet in Heaven. Just, I don't know how many books it sold. And I guess for a while, people have been edging him. When are you going to tell us the next part of this? So he's out right now this week with The Next Person You Meet in Heaven. And he's it was October 9th. And he's coming to Philadelphia, too, I believe, in the near future. Mitch Albom joins us on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Mitch, welcome back to Philadelphia. When are you coming to the free library?
Monday night. Monday night at 7:30. I'll be talking about, well, the book and everything else, and look forward to seeing my hometown.
So which one is more of the franchise that people say to you more, this or Tuesdays? Which one is it?
That's an interesting question, because one's nonfiction and one's fiction.
Right.
They were both turned into movies, so I don't know, between the two, it's about even. It depends on where I am.
Yep, okay. Well, Mitch, why this book? What's the premise of this book? People know the first one. I mean, this is a cultural phenomenon. You followed it up with this, and what's the storyline?
Well, in the first book, The Five People You Meet in Heaven, an old man named Eddie, who works in an amusement park and thinks he's a nobody his whole life. He just picks his rides. He dies trying to save a little girl named Annie from an accident. A cart breaks. It's about to fall. He pushes her out of the way. It lands on him, and he wakes up in heaven and finds out that the first stage of heaven is that you meet five people from your life, some of whom you knew, some of whom were almost strangers, and they explain little things that happened in the course of your life that changed their lives and your life, and he finds out that he... this insignificant life he thought he led was very significant. After that book came out, for about 15 years, people have been writing me and asking me, you know, so what's the second stage of heaven? And what happened, Eddie? And you can't leave the little girl. And so I've never written a sequel before, but I had heaven on my mind in the last couple of years. I had some loss in my family, and I decided to revisit it. And this book follows the story of the little girl that he saved all those years ago and how she grows up haunted by this mistake that happened when she was 8 years old and thinks her whole life is a mistake and everything she does is a mistake and it seems that every relationship she tries is a mistake. And when she finally dies, she goes to heaven and meets also five people who explain to her that these mistakes weren't quite what she thought they were. And, of course, one of those people is Eddie from the first book.
Oh, boy.
It ties together.
Yeah, it beautifully done. Now, I went back and thought about this. There's a favorite Twilight Zone of mine where this guy is retiring, musty old books at a preparatory school, and then all these kids appear to him ghost-like to tell him the impact he had on their lives. But, of course, it's coming up on the season of It's a Wonderful Life, and nothing is more powerful. This theme, and you handle it in a different way, but this theme really gives people comfort, hope, confidence about their life, I think.
I hope so. You know, we live in a country where you can be made to feel that if you're not, you know, a movie star or a music star or a politician, you're nobody. You know, we're very good at making people feel small. And I don't think there's such a thing as a small person. I think any one person affects the world. And so that's kind of the message of both of these books, but sort of through two different people and two different circumstances.
Now, Mitch, you also operate an orphanage now in Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
Yeah. In fact, I've been doing that since 2010 when the earthquake happened. I went down there a few weeks after and to help out in this orphanage, and I was so taken by the kids and the situation that I ended up bringing a lot of people back down and sort of building it back up from scratch. And 2 months later, I ended up taking over the operations, and I'm there now every month, and we have 47 children that we raise. And one of them was a kind of a big inspiration on this book because she was a little five-year-old girl named Chica who developed a brain tumor when she was five, and we brought her to America. And they told us she would only have 4 months left to live, but I knew she was a fighter, and so we basically adopted her and traveled around the world with her for a couple of years trying to save her life. And she lived 2 years with something that they thought she'd only live a couple months with. So that whole series of connections and, you know, how one life touches another, no matter where you're from. She couldn't have been any more our daughter if she looked just like me, but, you know, she came from a different place and a different country and a different language.
Mm-hmm.
And we were a family. The loss of that finds its way into this book quite a bit. And her, you know, the joy of having someone in your life also finds its way into the next person they meet in heaven.
I like what you said, too. I just picked up on what you said about making people small, and we look at celebrities and things like that. And particularly, we first saw you in the world of sports. So how much do you do of that now, Mitch, the world of sports? And any thoughts? You know, I love the competition of it and all that, but a lot of the stuff that you probably were inside and covered. I've talked to people on your level and locally, and it's very difficult sometimes with athletes. Access, talking with them, just about anything. Do you do anything in sports right now?
I do still some. I live in Detroit, and I started there as a sports columnist, and then Tuesdays with Maury happened, and I say happened because it really wasn't planned. You know,
right.
I just wrote this little book that was supposed to pay Maury's medical bills, and I was all set to go back to being a sports writer full-time and all that, and then the book kind of took off in a way I never could have anticipated, and it sort of changed my life, my concerns, my interests, the people who talk to me, everything. And so I maintain my sports column in Detroit mostly because they're nice enough to let me do it, and they seem to like to have me around a little bit, but I hardly qualify as a full-time sports writer. But I am still in the world of it, and you're right. I mean, especially when you're dealing with people dying from terminal illnesses. You're dealing with people who have lost their children. You're talking about things about, you know, how you know what matters in life before you go. Sports can seem kind of trivial, but by the same token, so could anything else that you do in your life. So could stock market or so could politics.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't belittle sports, but I do think it's changed quite a bit. You know, when I first got into it, it was easy to tell a story that hadn't been told before. Now the athletes are kind of telling their own stories the way they want to frame them with their own Instagrams and Twitter. They don't really need the media. They barely talk to them, and the access is different. The sense of entitlement is different. So, yeah, it's not as much fun as it used to be.
Well, this is an inspirational book, though, and a fun book, and, you know, as much as it can be. And the next part of the story, it's long-awaited. And Mitch, you know, having you on and seeing what you've created out of this, really, I was a fan of the first. It's one of those things. I don't know if you want to continue to spin it out from there, but I'm sure people are eager to hear more of it.
Well, yeah, somebody's asked me, so when's the third?
Yes.
I said, listen, it took me 15 years to write this one, and at my age and at that pace, I'm not sure there would be a third one. I have to sort of take it as it comes. But I do hope it offers comfort to people as the first one did, and I, especially if there's people out there who think everything they do is a mistake. I don't believe in that. And also, if people have suffered a loss, you know, I've had to deal with that, obviously, with our little girl. I lost my mother and father in the last few years as well. And there's a quick moment in the book that I'll just share with you that hopefully is of some comfort, where Annie is complaining, the girl who's going through heaven, about all of her losses and that her heart breaks. And the character takes out these pipe cleaners, and he's got five pipe cleaners, and he takes one, and he makes a little heart out of it. He says, you see this little heart, perfectly shaped, online? This is the heart that we're born with. And he takes the other four pipe cleaners and makes this big heart that's all lined, crisscrossed, And he says, you see this? This is the heart that we die with. And she says, but it's all broken. And he says, that's right, many times. And she says, well, that's what ruins it. And he said, no, that's what makes it whole. And that's what I've had to sort of adopt as a philosophy, and I hope is of some comfort to people who have lost people, too, that those lines that we have on our heart and all those heartbreaks, that's how we appreciate what we still have. And that's how your heart is whole, to know that, you know, you got to hold the days that you do have and the people that you do have in your life precious. If you never lost anything, ever, if you never had a line in your heart, you never appreciate it.
Exactly. Exactly right. It does give great comfort, Mitch. The next person you meet in heaven, thanks for joining us today in Philadelphia.
It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.